Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay and ready for the weekend. Thanks for downloading today's podcast on Friday, the 25th of October. It's feared a new sports centre in Medway won't be financially viable because of the cost of swimming sessions. It's £45 for a family ticket to Cossington Park in Rainham, which opened in July after a £22 million rebuild. But equivalent tickets at sites in Maidstone and Sittingbourne are cheaper. Stuart Bourne is from the Lib Dems in Medway. He's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
From my own personal experience and speaking to a lot of people I've spoken to, friends and family, it's been very, very under capacity done at the moment. Like there's no problem filling slots and it feels quite empty in there. So we are very concerned that then we're not getting the customers needed to make it financially viable.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we've always had concerns about the price, and we warned the Medway Council about pricing when they put their budget out in April. We also warned them about the cancelling of free child swimming, that you would lose adults who are paying full prices to come in it. And it seems that maybe our warnings have come into true and they're just not getting the customers. And speaking to people in Rainham that I've spoken to is that they just can't afford the record prices. I mean, it's for a family of four, it'll cost you around £46 to come swim for an hour at a family event. You can do that over at Swallows in Sittingbourne for about £19, and you're going to Moat Park for £36. So in a period where we've got a cost of living crisis and people are pinching the pennies, they're going to look away and say, actually, I can do the same experience a lot cheaper, just a bit with a short drive away.
I mean, what needs to happen now then?
Oh, I think we have to call on the Medway Council to look at their pricing ticket and really appreciate it. Put it into the market context. If you're running this as a pure business and you're only filling up a third of your capacity with customers, you have to look at your pricing modelling and see what needs to work. But I think our main priority is to make sure we bring back free swimming for children, because that instantaneously brings in a lot more people and a lot of parents who pay full price, and it comes in and improves numbers. And then once they're in there, we can get them going on a regular basis.
What do you think the feeling is around Rainham? Splashes was gone for a number of years, so at that point it's been back now for a couple of months, but it's quite expensive. What is the feeling?
The feeling is that we spent a lot of council's money on this new refurbishment. £25 million of taxpayers' money was spent on this, and they felt that it was going to be an exciting new project that they could go to, and they're completely disappointed. They turn up and they can't afford to go, and it feels like this is a facility that was only for the wealthy of Medway to use.
We've had this statement from Medway Council.
Since opening in July, more than 2,000 people have signed up for memberships at Cossington Park Sports Centre, as well as our members taking advantage of the facilities on offer. Non-members are able to book classes and swimming sessions online 7 days in advance. However, many also choose to book on the day or day before. There are a number of membership options available, and during the holidays, we're continuing to run our family swim sessions, which lets children swim for £1. We continually review our programmes across all of our sports centres and always welcome feedback from customers.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been charged with murder following the death of a man who went missing from Tunbridge Wells. 54-year-old Wayne Woodgate disappeared from the Good Station Road area last Thursday. On Wednesday this week, his body was found in Peasmarsh in East Sussex. Wayne's family have paid tribute, describing him as a beloved father who had a great sense of humour. 59-year-old Stephen Castle from Hastings Road in Matfield was arrested and has now been charged. Police investigating a stabbing in Strood have charged a man. Officers had been called to reports of a disturbance at a property on the High Street earlier this month, and a man in his 20s was injured. A suspect from Hampshire is accused of wounding with intent and possessing drugs. Two rogue traders who scammed victims in Kent for unnecessary building work have been ordered to pay back more than £100,000. The pair from Gravesend and Basildon were arrested in 2020 and jailed in 2022 for a total of 9 years. 150 deals of what's thought to be cocaine and heroin has been seized in Dartford after being sniffed out by a drugs dog. Police stopped a vehicle on Joyce Green Lane on Tuesday afternoon, and the substances were found in a hidden compartment. A man and woman, who are both 22 and from Essex, are out on bail. Now, a Kent MP's told Kent Online she's supporting a bid by a youth group to buy the building they're based in after the council confirmed it'll be put up for sale. KCC needs to save £118 million this year and decided not to renew contracts for youth services. It means a cut to funding for Pie Factory Music in Ramsgate, who are now fundraising. Polly Billington represents East Thanet.
Well, Pie Factory have had their funding slashed by Kent County Council, like many providers of youth services over the years. And that has obviously put an enormous amount of pressure on the service that they provide, which is particularly good. They reach 1,000 young people across East Kent, some of them in care, some of them very vulnerable, some of them with mental health issues. And they provide a fantastic service. Now, on top of that, Kent County Council is now threatening to sell the building from under them, and is saying that there is no need for the service that they provide, that it's no longer required. Now, I cannot believe that Kent County Council genuinely thinks that we do not need youth services in East Thanet, when so many young people are desperately in need of the kind of support that really gives them the opportunity to thrive. And the impact for the whole of the community, not just those young people, of not having youth services is very visible when we know what happens when those youth services get reduced. You have more young people hanging about, more antisocial behaviour, more knife crime, etc., etc. Now, I want to be able to make sure that youth services in East Thanet are provided, and that young people can get the kind of support they need to become the responsible young adults that we all want to have in our community. And that fundamentally means that services like Pie Factory Music need to be properly funded, and particularly if the building is going to be sold, that they need to have the opportunity to be able to buy that building. And I would want Kent County Council to look seriously at any proposal that Pie Factory Music puts to them about the possibility of owning their own building.
Yeah, Pie Factory have said that's exactly what they want to do. They've in fact started fundraising to do that. I mean, is that a possibility? Do you think they would be able to buy it if they got enough money together?
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of their budget. What I do know is that young people in Ramsgate and across East Kent and Thanet really value the kind of services that Pie Factory Music provide. 1,000 young people benefit from Pie Factory Music at this time. And that includes people who are extremely young, people who are extremely vulnerable, some with mental health issues, etc. And I just don't think it's right for Kent County Council to be saying that that kind of service is no longer required. It's extremely short-sighted. It's as though they don't really understand the community and that they're only out of touch. And I do think Kent County Council needs to think very carefully about its strategy. We all know that local authorities are strapped for cash, but we also know the impact if these kind of services are reduced.
I was going to say, Polly, we do know about budget restrictions. I mean, Kent County Council haven't shied away from that and how much money they need to save. Can central government do anything to help at all?
Well, we're looking forward to the budget in the next week, but I do know that budget is going to be very tough because we're going to be clearing up the mess of the last 14 years, which has seen a significant underfunding of local authorities across the country. And we see that in way beyond just youth services, for the state of our roads, for the poverty of our special educational needs provision. All kinds of things are really signs of how our local government has been so really poorly funded over the last 14 years. Now, I'd love to say that suddenly we're going to be able to turn the taps on next week. I'm not the Chancellor, and B, I don't think that's going to happen, because if you're going to turn around that amount of mess, it's going to take a bit of time. So I know that there is likely to be an annual settlement in the first instance, but then what we have absolutely committed to is multi-year settlements. Now, that might sound a bit boring, but if you think about it in terms of your household budget, it would mean that you would know how much money you were getting in for 3 years rather than just one. That gives local authorities the opportunity to plan and to invest in the priorities that they've got. Now, it still ends up being political choices about how you spend that money. And I would really be advocating very, very hard for Kent County Council to be prioritising youth services, because I know what a difference it makes in my community. Now, in the first instance, there's not going to be a lot of money. In the second instance, how you spend that money is a political decision.
Well, we've had this statement from Kent County Council.
It has been well documented that KCC needs to find an estimated £118 million of savings this year to balance the budget and protect statutory services in the future. Following the difficult decision not to renew commissioned youth services contracts last year,
the Ramsgate Youth Centre building is no longer required by the council to support the delivery of KCC youth services. These are now delivered via the council's family hubs across the county. As the building is no longer required to support KCC service delivery, the council will be progressing with the sale of it in line with our normal processes. It is expected that the proceeds from any sale will be reinvested to support the council's operational services. As part of this process, along with others, the Pie Factory will be able to express an interest.
Kent Online News.
A man's been injured following an explosion on a ship at Sheerness Docks. The 5,000-tonne vessel was moored there after travelling from the Netherlands. Emergency crews were called last night and spent around 4 hours at the scene. The mum of a Canterbury teenager who died earlier this year has decorated his grave to mark Halloween, saying it was his favourite time of year. Nicky Lothar is thought to have inhaled deodorant before passing away at his home in June. The 13-year-old Canterbury Academy pupil was a fan of Tim Burton movies. You can see pictures of the tribute at Kent Online. An inquest into his death is due to be held next week. Housing developers apologised after sewage was filmed flowing through a new build estate in Whitstable. A resident claims the issue has even attracted rats to her property in Whitstable Heights off Old Thanet Way. Hyde Homes have blamed the issue on nappies and sanitary products blocking pipes and say an investigation is underway. A reminder now, the Kingsferry Bridge to Sheppey is going to be closed from tonight for the next 8 days so work can be finished. Teams of specialists have been replacing the steel ropes used to raise and lower the structure. The work started in the summer but took longer than originally planned. Paul Prentice from Network Rail has been telling us why they're finishing it now.
So we're starting the closure tonight. That's Friday the 25th of October. And the closure will continue until Sunday the 3rd of November. And that's because we've got to replace some ropes in the Kingsferry Bridge. And as your viewers and listeners will know, that work was started during the summer and we're just finishing off that work so that we can replace those final few ropes. The reason we're doing the work now is because if we did it during the winter when the weather conditions would be worse, then the conditions would be more hazardous. It would run the risk of having to have an unplanned closure. And we're doing it in a planned way now so that we can give people more notice, more time, do the work more safely, and just run that risk of disruption further into the winter.
And why is this extra closure needed? Because I understand the original plan was to get it all done in the summer.
Yeah, so when we were doing some work during the summer, there were a few issues that we needed to address within the bridge. The bridge, as many people will know, is around 60 years old. And with a bridge of that age, it's a mechanical bridge. Obviously, there's machinery inside the bridge, which means that to get to some of the equipment, we had to take certain things away. And once we'd looked at the mechanics of the bridge and inside the bridge, we realised that a little bit more work was needed. And so that extra time was needed at this time of year. As I say, I'm sorry that people will have potentially delayed journeys, but we are hoping to mitigate that. We're hoping to ensure that people can plan ahead, can travel at quieter times while we do this really important work, and get that done now so that we don't have to do it later in the year or during the winter when the conditions could potentially be more hazardous.
And a lot of schools will be on half term next week. Is that a deliberate choice to get the work done during that school holiday?
Yes, it's absolutely a deliberate choice to do the work during the school holidays when the roads are a bit quieter. 9 out of 10 schools in the area will actually be closed. So we're doing that work when there are fewer people travelling to and from the Isle of Sheppey to do the school run. We're working with obviously local bus companies as well. There's a rail replacement service in place with Southeastern, who'll be running a rail replacement service. But the main message really is to motorists, please travel at the quieter times, because the only crossing will be the Sheppey crossing, and that will be busier. So if you can plan your journey at a quieter time, that really does make a difference and helps everyone move a little easier to and from the Isle of Sheppey.
It also coincides with half term.
Kent Online reports.
There's a warning about fake QR codes on pay and display machines in Dover. They've been spotted in a number of car parks as scammers hope drivers will scan them. Council bosses say they're checking sites across the district. A 10-year-old boy is continuing to recover after being hit by a bus in Folkestone. Harrison Sala spent 8 days in an induced coma after it happened on Sandgate Esplanade in June. He suffered a brain injury and requires physio, speech and language therapy and educational psychology. The boss of an animal sanctuary in Kent is being taken to court over noise complaints. Amy James runs Happy Pants Ranch near Sittingbourne and is accused of breaching an abatement order due to the sound of cockerels, geese, sheep, cattle and dogs. The charity owner says she'll fight the legal action. There are plans to bring more actors, directors and playwrights to Kent by creating a hub for the performing arts in Margate. Work's already underway to renovate and reopen the Theatre Royal. Kate's been chatting to project manager Hayley White, who says they've got £5 million worth of funding to transform the site.
It's really exciting because it means we can actually do something, you know, reasonably significant with that money and we can get started. So we are now looking for architects and design team and cost consultants and project managers to start really designing the process so we can get started with the design and get the contractors on site and get it happening.
So it sounds as if it's going to be quite a substantial redesign. Are we talking a gutting of the old premises? Are we talking new ceilings and seats and stages? What are we talking about?
So the building is 240 years old. And is grade 2 star listed. So the main driver is conservation. So we'll be looking at the very ornate plasterwork and very historic layout and auditorium. So that will largely remain the same. But what we will be doing is looking at theatre modernisation, so lights and sound, looking at access, so looking at where we could put a lift, looking at environmentally friendly measures, all with the kind of conservation taking the forefront because of the listed building. And it's really beautiful and we want to protect that. So it's sort of conservation led, but we're going to push as much as we can to make sure that it's, you know, a fully working, all singing, all dancing, modern theatre. And to challenge some of the kind of condition stuff. So we had a condition report and we know that the theatre actually closed because it needs completely rewiring and we need to look at the fire regulations around it and make sure everybody's safe and the building itself is safe and a few kind of upgrades around that. So, yeah, it's exciting. A lot to do and lots of sort of layers to the project, but it's really about enhancing what's there. The other big part of the project, so we have £3 million pending a decision by DCMS, so Department of Culture, Media and Sport, in a couple of weeks' time, so that we're hoping it will come out with the autumn spending review. And that really allows us to look at the building across the road. So it's a building called 19 Hawley Square, and it was formerly the London Hotel, also grade 2 listed, so not 2 star, but like the theatre, but 2 listed, and was built in 1830 to house the patrons of the Theatre Royal. And the vision is really that what we're going to do is create a small studio theatre in that building, put a bar cafe area in, rehearsal rooms, offices for performing arts companies, and some touring theatre digs in the top accommodations there. So mimicking the hotel that it was, but keeping those touring, so that when theatre companies come and artistic directors and writers, you know, and even educational groups and schools groups, we've got accommodation for them to stay on site. So that really is the kind of the new shiny bit of the whole project in the additional building across the road.
I remember reading in the press release, it's hoped that it will be a nationally significant performing arts hub in Margate. What does that mean?
So I suppose what it means is that it will be part of a touring network. So it will produce work. So there's currently no other producing theatre in Kent. So we'll be looking for the operator to produce new work there that can tour nationally. So creating something in Margate, of Margate, with Margate people that can then tour nationally and potentially even internationally. And similarly, in terms of receiving shows, so being on that touring network. So it's in the import and export of the performing arts and productions into the area. And I think, you know, we're very much hoping that this will be, you know, a step up for the performing arts in the same way the Turner Contemporary has helped regenerate the town for the visual arts and for tourism, that the Theatre Royal could do something similar, but with the performing arts as the focus.
And now with a roundup of everything going on in Kent this weekend, here's Watson's Sam Laurie.
The October half term is almost here. In fact, I know for some people the school holidays have already started. But don't worry, I've got lots of great days out to keep the kids busy during the autumn break. There are some seriously spooky events happening all over Kent, from outdoor scare mazes to costume competitions and classic film screenings. Battle fire-breathing dragons at Dover Castle, shoot slime at the historic Dockyard Chatham, hold creepy crawlies at Howlett's Wild Animal Park, visit the Scarecrow Pumpkin Patch at the Reindeer Centre, meet magical creatures at Leeds Castle, the list goes on. You can find our full guide to frighteningly fun days out this October half term on the What's On section of Kent Online. And don't forget to look out for our list of Halloween film screenings, from classic horrors like Psycho and The Shining to family favourites like Ghostbusters and The Nightmare Before Christmas. And five ghoulish ghost tours happening in Kent this week, which are also up on our website. Now, if you've had enough of the spooky season already, it's not all about Halloween. There's a cutting-edge tech festival coming to Kent this weekend. Electric Medway is back and it's taking over venues in Chatham, Rochester and Gillingham until Sunday. There's VR gaming, art installations, talks on AI and social media, digital trails and more, and pretty much all of it is family friendly. When it comes to music this week, I've got two very different gigs for you. On one hand, we've got the Margate Rock Festival, which comes to Dreamland on Saturday with heavy metal bands and local up-and-comers. And on the other end of the spectrum, classical singer and Songs of Praise host Ella Jones will be at Revelation Ashford on Wednesday. Take your pick. There's also some great comedy this week, kicking off tonight with everyone's favourite pub landlord, Al Murray. He's bringing his latest show, Gov Island, to the Central Theatre in Chatham. And on Tuesday, comedian and off-menu podcast host Ed Gamble takes his new tour to fans at the Orchard West Theatre in Dartford. Finally, there's still time to catch The Incredible War Horse as it continues at Canterbury's Marlow Theatre for another week. The moving wartime play, based on the best-selling children's novel, is in town until next Saturday. And looking ahead to next week, fans of 80s blockbuster An Officer and a Gentleman will want to see the musical adaptation as it opens at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley from Monday. So whether your weekend plans include heading out to a fancy dress party, watching scary movies at the cinema or going trick-or-treating, I hope you have a wicked Halloween weekend.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and it's a trip to Swindon Town for Gillingham in League Two this weekend. Mark Bonner's side have slipped to 11th in the table after a poor run of five defeats. Tomorrow's opposition are third from bottom. Here's Gills midfielder Tim Dieng.
Yeah, I think it's very important to get a result on Saturday. It's a big game for the club, but most importantly, we need a win. We lost five on a bounce. It's not ideal. We're in a tough situation at the moment, but I think we have enough to win against any team in this league. And we just need to stay together, stay positive, and go to Swindon and put on a big performance and get a good result.
You just said yourself, we know we've got performances in us because we're top of the league. Yeah. So I guess from a player's perspective, do you just think, well, this is a bit of a rut that we're in, and one win could kind of change that very, very quickly?
Yeah, definitely. I think we need to get that win, like stop that that bad momentum and start a good one. Like we showed that in the first 2 months of the league that we can beat any team and we can be the best team in the league. So it hasn't changed. We still have the same qualities within the squad. So we have to find it within us and go to Swindon and get that first win and start another winning streak.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this sort of bizarre rivalry with Swindon over the years, but I believe it's close to 1,200 fans going. Yeah. On Saturday, that may be the kind of atmosphere you need at this point in time.
Yeah, definitely. We need everyone at the club to support us. And fair play to the fans that will travel and the one that we won't travel but support us from far. We want to go there, like I said, put on a big performance and so they can have a smile on their face when they leave the stadium.
Staying with football, and Kent's Alessi Russo's in the squad for England as they take on Germany later. The Lionesses have back-to-back games at Wembley in the next week, with South Africa visiting on Tuesday. 54,000 tickets have been sold for tonight's match, which kicks off at 7:30. In cricket, Nathan Gilchrist has extended his contract at Kent. The 24-year-old fast bowler made his debut in 2020 and will remain with the county until at least the end of next season. And a Kent gymnastics coach has met Princess Anne during a ceremony of recognition at Buckingham Palace. Ianud Trandabaru is director of coaching at the Pegasus Club in Maidstone. He's part of a group that's been awarded for supporting Olympic athletes. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're there, you can also check out this week's Secret Drinker. He's been reviewing a pub in Higham near Rochester.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.